I am 25. 29th of April, 1978 to the 28th of April, 1979. Over. Make More Mistakes by John Mueller. Big in Japan broke up in 1978, a few months after my 25th birthday. No one, band or audience, was too emotionally affected when we decided to move on. Like many things, it was merely a stepping stone to other activity. But it had to happen in order for what was to happen next. Not long after, David Balfe, who was also in the group, and I started Zoo Records. It was a label, like most, that wanted to put out music by friends we thought had good ideas. The label didn't last long, but the idea had now taken root in me that I had a sense of making something happen. I felt I could see something in people's ideas and actions that had a kind of truth to them, some kind of complex personal story or issue that connected with others, even if, or especially if, others didn't understand those connections on the surface. Beatrice Luna, a neuroscientist at the University of Pittsburgh, has said that it takes an average of 25 years for people to grow up. Things like mortgages, long-term relationships, and steady jobs supposedly help completely form an adult brain. At this point in my life, I had worked at a variety of random jobs. Milkman, gardener, steelworker, nursing assistant, theatre carpenter, and a scene painter. I'd written songs and played in bands, produced records and promoted music, all of which are involved and technical roles in their own right, but not the typical career-driven paths of other adults. I had no family corporate job or mortgage to mould me into what's typically known as being a responsible adult. I wasn't concerned about that. I was concerned with making something happen. And during the summer of 1978, I made something happen. One morning, I remember it was quite hot out for being so early in the day. I went for a walk to get some breakfast. During this walk, I stopped to help someone with their car, who sat stranded on the road while steam rose from its hood. I didn't know much about fixing cars, but figured another set of eyes wouldn't hurt. The driver opened the bonnet and we both stared at the engine, contemplating what might be the issue. Did anything look loose or broken? Was the steam coming from a particular place? These are the kind of questions I asked myself as we both mumbled theories about what the issue might be. Neither of us having the means to fix it, even if our theory was correct. It went on this way for a while, and eventually the driver ended up joining me for breakfast. There would likely be a payphone at the cafe, and why not have a bite while we waited to see what would happen? But there's more to it than this. Prior to going to the cafe, or even agreeing to get breakfast together, I did something that most people wouldn't have. While looking dumbfounded under the hood of the driver's car, I removed the radiator cap. This, as seemingly everyone except me knows, can unleash an explosion of hot radiator fluid, which in this case did. Somehow, the boiling green fluid missed me entirely, completely soaked the driver, causing them to instantly yell out in surprise, even giving them a couple of burns on the head and stomach. We were both aghast, panicked, and totally frantic. "What have I done?" is all I could think. Luckily, the driver had a jacket in the back seat of the car, which they used to wipe it off. This also helped him calm down. As they went from total panic mode to an almost depressed silence, it was an awkward walk to the cafe. I was gregariously apologetic. It was the least I could do. Once we were sitting in the cafe, I realised I was doing most of the talking, likely out of guilt, trying to help them feel more comfortable despite the situation. After all, they still had a broken car to deal with. Should I see if the cafe has a first aid kit? Do you want to go and wash up? These were the kind of questions that poured out of me until I started to realise that the driver wasn't doing much of anything I would expect someone in their situation to be doing. They didn't wash up, didn't make any phone calls, didn't seek out any medical help, and in fact, didn't he even say much at all. Like an old Bartleby the Scrivener, they just sat silently and disinterested as I ordered them some eggs. Before the food arrived, the driver excused themselves from the table and went outside. I respected their privacy, but couldn't help but see through the large front windows of the cafe as they got into the passenger side of a car, which then drove away. Did they know that person in this car? How did the person know they were here? Would they come back? The eggs arrived and I stared at them, almost as if they were ghosts of the driver. Who were they? What was this all about? It was a total mystery. It wasn't until months later that I found out that these people meant me harm, that they were coming for me. And by opening that radiator cap, I had stopped them. I had put a wrench into their plan that they never expected and couldn't prepare for, and thus shut the scheme down. This whole experience made me think much differently about mistakes, chance, and taking action. I now knew that going forward, whatever I did would include an awareness I didn't previously have, at least to this high of a degree. An awareness that anything can happen at any time, and that there is fatality and possibility in everything. But in spite of the total chance of things, I could make something happen. In my own way, I had found adulthood.
Under, Three Stairs Up by Katrina Crear. My dad knew A.A. Millen's son. I am not sure whether it was in the army or on the streets of Edinburgh. My dad told me that Christopher Robin resented his father's stories about him. It's rather difficult to map these thoughts between Christopher Robin, A.A. Milne, my dad and me out, but it's very unlikely that I thought about Winnie the Pooh in his 25th year. But then again, if I did, around three stairs up is the stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom. I'm not at the top. I'm not in the middle. So this is the stair where I always keep looking up. At the daft age of 25. Three stairs isn't up, isn't down, isn't in the middle. It's definitely in the town. And all sorts of funny thoughts run around my head. Women. Music. Paintings. These funny thoughts didn't happen exactly at the same time. From moment to moment, I had a one-track mind. Nonetheless, they run around my head. The third stair isn't really anywhere. It's somewhere else instead.